I want you to open your Bible to the book of Luke tonight. The book of Luke in chapter 14. Good to see Ken Beach back home, and I noticed that the Dickinsons are there tonight. At least I saw Beverly singing in the choir. And didn't Valerie do good on that solo in the ensemble? Good job, Valerie. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for it. The book of Luke, chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 25 through 33 if you want to follow along with me in your Bible. Luke, chapter 14, verse 25 down through verse 33. And there went great multitudes with him. Isn't that interesting that again tonight we see that term, great multitudes. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I think that comparative term there, we have to understand as meaning, according to the other passages of Scripture and statements that Jesus made, it means we love Jesus Christ so much that our love for family and friends seems like hate compared to how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he gives two illustrations. First of all, which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions for peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. I entitle the message tonight, what does it cost to serve God? Sometimes you see something in a store, or you see something somebody has, and you say, man, I really like that. How much did that cost? Or if it's not priced in a store, you say, if you like it, you say, how much is that? Or sometimes you may be investigating, knowing that you can't afford it. And sometimes the people will answer and say, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. And I understand that. I understand that. I think most believers, most of you that would be in church on Sunday night, on a summer Sunday night, whenever people are out doing all kinds of things and going all kinds of places, I think you want to serve God. And you envision perhaps yourself serving God. And especially young people many times, they ask the question, you know, I really like this thing of serving God, and I know that that's something I should do, and I know that's something God wants me to do. But is there a price to be paid for that? What does it cost to serve God? Well, let me tell you that there is a price. And some of it was given in the passage of Scripture that we read this evening. But I want to speak to you in just 5 points tonight about things that it will cost you to serve God. I think it will not be conclusive of all the things that it will cost to serve God. But I want to give you these 5 things if you want to write them down. The first one is trust. It's going to cost you your trust to serve God. An unconditional, complete dependence upon God for guidance and supply. You're going to have to trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we all know perhaps. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, a complete and undivided reliance on God. Whenever God called Abraham, Abraham was at his home in Ur of Chaldees, and God says, I want you to leave this place and go to a place that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to use you and work with you, and I'm going to bring you to the point that you will be the father of a nation through which I'm going to bring my Redeemer into the world. What a great service that Abraham was going to give to God. But Abraham had to trust God. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what the place was going to look like. He simply set out, the Word of God says, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going. He just took off. And God said, make this turn, make this turn, make this turn. I've often said that God was Abraham's GPS. And, you know, except he didn't say 200 yards ahead, you're going to turn right. He said, 2 days ahead, you're going to make a right turn or a left turn or whatever. But God guided him day by day and step by step. And it took a long time to get to the place, but whenever he got there, God said, this is it. And, of course, he encountered difficulties in the times that he was there, but that's part of it. But Abraham believed God. That's the secret of the whole thing. It's going to cost you your trust. You don't trust your own reasoning. You don't trust your own abilities. You don't trust anything about yourself. You don't trust what other people say, even. You trust God. Now, young people, you're sitting there listening to me tonight. And you're perhaps thinking, I don't know about this thing of serving God. I'd like to do that. And I know that other people have given their lives to the Lord. And I know that perhaps I should do that. But I don't know whether I'm willing to pay the price or not. Well, now, there is a cost to it. But I want you to see that the first thing it's going to cost you is your trust. You cannot see how you can accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish. And if God told you right now all the things that he wants you to do, it would scare you so bad you'd say, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I just don't believe that's going to work for me. But if you will pay the price of putting your complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and following God as he works and as he wills and as he guides you, I guarantee you, it will be a wonderful day for you. What does it cost to serve God? First of all, it costs your trust. Number two, it costs your time. There have to be sections of your life that are blocked out and set aside completely for doing God's work. It just doesn't happen accidentally. You just don't all of a sudden find some time that you're going to serve God. Some people approach it like that. They say, whenever I have time, I'm going to serve God. You're not going to have time. You're going to be too busy. There's going to be other things that occupy your time. If you're going to go out Tuesday night, knock on doors and pass out Bibles, if you're going to do that, you have to set that time aside and say, this is what I'm going to do. If you're going to read your Bible, you're going to have to set aside time to do that. If you're going to be faithful in church, you have to set aside that time. You have to plan that into your schedule. It's going to cost you some time. It takes time to care about other people. It takes time to serve other people. It doesn't just happen accidentally. Training takes time. Studying takes time. And serving takes time. Some of us are so hyper that we just want to be doing something. But to serve God, you've got to set aside a time to serve God and say, this is what I'm going to do. In this time, I'm giving this to the Lord. I wonder if anyone here tonight would take some time and say, okay, now I've been doing this in this time. I'm going to pull that activity out of there and into that place in my day, in my week, in my life. In that place, I'm going to plug in serving God. That's what I'm going to do. It'll cost you that if you're going to serve the Lord. First of all, it's going to cost you your trust. Second of all, it's going to cost time. And the third thing I bring to you tonight, and this would be an expected thing that I would bring to you, is that it's going to cost you your talents. You see, and let me see if I can say this the way I want to. God-given abilities should be available for God to use. I talked about this last week in adorning the gospel of God, or 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was. But in the matter of adorning the gospel of God, not purloining, not taking from God that he has and using it for our own benefit. But you've got to appreciate people who take a talent, a musical talent, and however much or however little they have, they bring that into the service of the Lord. They play an instrument. They sing in the choir. They sing specials. They're in a group. Now, in that area of music ability, you see, all of this goes together because you cannot separate your talent from time. If you're going to play an instrument, you have to take time to practice that instrument. If you're going to sing in the choir, you have to take time to practice with the choir. It just goes together. That's just the way it is. But it's amazing the ability that some people have. I watch some people take their ability to cut grass and bring that into the service of the Lord. I watch some people's ability with personality. They just have a personality that it's just natural for people to gravitate around them, and people listen to them and they like to be around them, and they just have an attractive personality. And I see that brought into the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where did they get that? Well, he got that from his mom, or he got that from his dad, or, you know, they just have a family trait of being like that. No, that's a God-given ability. And God-given abilities ought to be available for God's use in his service. Isn't it a terrible thing whenever a person has a God-given ability and they will not use that ability for God? God says, I want you to do this, and I want you to take this ability that I've given to you, and I want you to use it in my work and for my service. And the individual says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to serve you with that ability that you have given to me. What a terrible thing that is. And I don't know, it seems like I'm talking to young people here tonight. But young people, to take your ability that you have, whether to sing, to play an instrument, or whether it's your personality, or whether a gift of being in front of people, and that is a gift to be in front of people. And, you know, I watched and heard about this week in day camp this week about how some of you just took those abilities and incorporated them in the work of the day camp this week that was there at the home place, and how you really just took those children and just got close to them and just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And God used you in a great way. Don't you think you ought to take that and give that back to the Lord and say, here, I give this to you to be used for your glory. There's some of you ladies seated here in the service tonight. you have an ability, you have a grandmother ability, I think it's called. And you can take care of children. You can do that. You ought to be in the nursery. Now, you may already be there. If you are, that's wonderful and that's good. And I mean, on your turn. But if you have that kind of gift and ability with kids, you ought to do that. Some of you ought to be teaching Sunday school. Some of you ought to be doing those kinds of things. You know, I think I have a grandfather image. I was sitting across the aisle yesterday on the airplane from a fella. He was sitting there. It seemed like he had the youngest one of the family. Of course, whenever you're coming out of Orlando or going into Orlando, there's always a lot of kids. And this fella had a little girl about 18 months old, and she was not particularly enjoying the plane ride. She was not enjoying that a whole lot. She was twisting and turning and fussing, and she was expressing about the way I felt, except she was not inhibited about expressing it. And she was twisting and turning. Finally, she worked her way down, and she was sitting on the floor, and she was just looking around at all those interesting things on the floor in the aisle. And I just started moving my foot over toward her like that. And she looked at that, and I moved it back the other way. Just a second later, she started looking at it again. And I moved my foot over just a little bit. And then she moved away from it a little bit, and I moved it back. I did that about 3 times. And she started standing up, reaching for her daddy to pull her back up out of there. And I said to him, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." He said, "That's okay, you entertained her for a few seconds." And I thought, well, every little bit helps, I guess. But whatever you can do, whatever you can do, bring that in to the service of the Lord. Now, I must say this also, and you know as I come to the fourth thing, that I'm going to come to this. It's going to cost you your treasure. To serve the Lord is going to cost you your treasure. I watched the pictures tonight of Brother Truett and our missionary there in Italy, working with the military there in Italy. And I thought of our giving to missions through our church. And I thought of what it takes to make the church work. What it takes financially to make the church serviceable in the community and in the cause of Christ. I do not have to talk to you folks who are here tonight much about this. If you're here on a Sunday night service, you know what it takes in the matter of giving to make it work. And I could go to Matthew chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 7, where it talks about bringing the tithes in. And here on earth, men received the tithes, but now in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ receives them. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where it says, "Bring ye therefore the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse, that everything may be taken care of," is what it's saying there. So it's going to cost you your treasure. All of us, it costs us whenever we give to the Lord. But not only that, there are people with abilities that could take those abilities and go into another area of work and make a lot more money than they do whenever they are in God's work. But who has the priority on your talents whenever your talents produce treasure? I believe God has the priority on that. God has already promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, and we quoted that this morning. But it seems to me that we should bring those talents into the Lord's work with the Lord's promise to take care of us and not worry about all the money that we did not accumulate because we served the Lord. And we ought not be jealous of others who have the same abilities we have and take those abilities and use them in other ways to acquire more income. We ought not be jealous of those folks. We ought to be happy that they do that and trust that they give to the Lord's work. But don't think it's not going to cost you something financially to serve the Lord. It will. Now, God will bless in every way, and He will provide for everything, but it will cost something. But just understand that it's all going to be taken care of whenever we get home. It's all going to balance out. So, we have it's going to cost us our trust, our time, our talent, our treasure. And now the fifth thing. The fifth thing it's going to cost us is it's going to cost us tribulation. And this is probably one of the things that we dread the most. Because we do not like that word. On Thursday nights, there in the church, we have been looking at the Beatitudes. And in just a few weeks, we're going to come to the final Beatitude, where Jesus said, "Blessed, happy are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Jesus also said to his disciples, "Do you think that if they persecuted your master, that they will not persecute you?" Well, of course they will. Now, I don't know where we are in that regard in our nation. I don't know how far along we've moved on that. We've heard about recently about the IRS targeting conservative groups, and we've heard about the things that people filing for 501c3s, nonprofit corporations. It does not seem that we have, as of yet, had the churches specifically identified in that. But don't think it's strange if that happens. It's not going to be an unusual thing in the history of the church for the church to be persecuted. It's not going to be an unheard of thing for individual Christians to be persecuted, not just by unsaved people around us, but by governments. It happens in other parts of the world all the time. Every day it's taking place right now. And we trust that it would not happen here, but we ought not be surprised if it does happen here. So if it does cost us some tribulation, if it costs us some suffering, we must understand that whenever we get home, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 said, "I've gone through this. I've gone through beatings. I've received stripes. I've been beaten 40 times, save one. I've been in shipwreck." Paul went through all that. He went through peril of the Gentiles. He went through peril from the Jews. He went through all of those things. Why should we escape that? You say, "Preacher, are you eager for that?" No, I'm not eager for that. I'm just simply saying that we ought not think it strange. We ought not think it ought not come to us. But whenever Paul came to the end of it all, he said, "I've fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me. And not unto me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing." Oft times the day seems dark without a ray of light. It seems like we walk through a darkness and we're tempted to just give up. But as the chorus of that old song says, and I think, did the choir open with it tonight? I believe they did. "It will be worth it all." And as they sang tonight, I thought about the final point of this message. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. it's going to cost you your trust. Are you willing to pay that? Are you willing to give your trust? It's going to cost you your time. Are you willing to give your time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give your talent to serve Him? Are you willing to give your treasure to serve Him? And are you willing to endure the tribulation, should that be necessary, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. That's the sermon for tonight. What does it cost to serve God? I wonder here this evening, how many would say, "Preacher, as best I know my own heart, as best I know what in me is, I'm willing to pay the cost. I'm willing to pay what it takes to serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Here in Chattanooga, there in Orange City, I want you to know, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to be the first one to raise my hand and say, "I want to pay the cost. I want to pay the cost to serve God. That's what I want to have." I wonder how many of you there will raise your hand with me. How many of you here will raise your hand with me? Say, "I'll pay the cost. I'll pay the cost. I've counted that cost. I've looked at it. And I'll pay that cost." Thank you. You may put your hands down. I wonder if there's some young people here tonight who maybe God has spoken particularly to your heart. And you're willing to say, not just to this preacher, but you're willing to say to the Lord, "Lord, I'll pay the price. Whatever it costs, in my trust, in my time, in my talent, in my treasure, in tribulation, I'll pay the cost and I'll serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Young people, if you're here and you want to say that, I want you to just walk down to the front. Whenever we stand in just a moment, I want you to walk down to the front. Brother Aaron will be standing there. And I just want you to walk up to him. And I want you to say, "Brother Aaron, I want you to know I'm willing to pay the price to serve my God."